Hey guys, this is Rick Godwin, pastor of Summit Church here in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we're excited to have you on our podcast. Our goal is to inspire you and to challenge you and help everyone realize their full potential in Christ. Now enjoy the message.
We're going to be talking about communion this morning. So if you came in and you did not receive your elements in that little baggie, raise your hand and our ushers will serve you, because we're going to save it to the end after my message. I want to build a little bit of faith and expectation, and we'll all take it together. So right now, just wave and let an usher see that you didn't get that little baggie of elements, okay? And they will see that you're served. So let me begin. When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, he gave them what's called the Passover. It was called the Passover because God said, I'm going to send judgment on the land, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel of judgment could not touch anybody under the blood of the lamb. So that's why it was called the Passover. It was a roasted lamb. And they were instructed to eat every part of that lamb as a forerunner of the Lord's Supper, or we say communion or Eucharist, same thing. Now, the result of eating that lamb and having the blood over you to keep you from judgment was, for 40 years, the children of Israel, there was not one sick, not one feeble among them. Now, get this in your head. Millions of people who for 435 years have been in slavery and bondage. Some must be decrepit, some are elderly, infirmed, you can just imagine. And yet, out of a couple of million people, they walked out of that land across the desert, young and old, and there was not one sick among them. That'll put your hair on fire. That's amazing. Now that, you would agree, was a miracle meal. And it remains a miracle meal to this day, but most have very little understanding of it. So Christ gave to his church communion in the upper room. It produces a threefold healing when you observe it. Listen to the scripture. This is back in the book of Revelation. And it says in chapter 22 that during the millennial time, the river of life will flow out of the throne of Jesus, and there will be 12 kinds of trees beside the river of life. And whatever you eat from those trees will bring you divine health. I'm going to run out there right now and grab some, right? It establishes the point that in the supernatural, what you eat can affect your physical being. So today, when you take communion, you're releasing the healing power of God Almighty into your body. You renew the celebration of your sins being forgiven at the cross, and you're looking forward. We do it as long until he come. We're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. So it's a supernatural force that you take into your body, and God brings healing and health to you. Now, let me pause there just a second to say this. Paul addressed the Corinthians. He said, we know that a stone idol, whether it's a Buddha or whether it's a totem pole, he says, we know that an idol is nothing. It has no ears. It has no eyes. It has no heart. It can't think, see, or feel. Well, what activates it? He said a demonic spirit behind it. So when we take these elements in a little bit, those are nothing. They're nothing special. It could be a cracker. Could be a piece of cake. Could be a piece of bread. Could be grape juice or pineapple juice. They're simply symbols. Behind it is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit behind those symbols activates to us in faith the benefits of Jesus, what he won at the cross. So he's activating. There's no magic in the cracker or the grape juice. It's the Holy Spirit acting behind those symbols as a demon operates behind those idols that people worship. Okay, just giving you a little quick overview. You can read that in Corinthians. So get this in the theater of your mind. Put yourself in the upper room with Jesus and the 12 disciples as they're about to receive communion. And this is the very first time in the New Testament. Everyone's being served from a common cup, which is actually a large goblet of wine. Yes, it's real wine. There's two Greek words for wine, in your Bible. One is oinos, the other is glucose. Glucose is the word we get for glucose, sugar water, grape juice. It's never used. It is oinos. It's real wine. Okay, probably Merlot, maybe a Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know. Church has screwed this up so bad. Anyway, I understand about abuse. I understand about all that. But I'm saying keep the truth the truth. Why would they call Jesus a wine bibber if he drank grape juice? Well, I never thought about it. That's right. Church never taught anybody to think. So it was real wine. Now, the admonition was don't get drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, correct? And it says an elder must not be addicted to wine. So don't get goofy. And if you have a problem with addiction, we're respectful of that, then for you, abstain. But let's keep it straight. It was real wine. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have Welch's grape juice and everything fermented in that desert heat in a dumb goat skin. Are you with me? Okay. Okay. Listen, I am here to agitate you, okay? But it's good to know some stuff. Nobody ever taught me any of this in church. So Jesus, now he's there at that table. He's coming towards you. And he's standing directly in front of you, and he holds that goblet of wine out towards you. Oh, and let me pause to say this. It was a common cup. That meant they passed it around in the house. Now, I thought about that, but that's a lot of backwash for everybody in here. And I don't know if you brush your teeth. I don't know if your teeth are rotten. I don't want your backwash in my mouth. So out of hygiene, we don't use a common cup. We just have an individual cup. And aren't you happy? Wouldn't you like to be the last person over here that got served the common cup? You see, you have to think about this. So that's why in church we have it individual. But in a, you can celebrate it in your home, at the breakfast table, on the road. You can do it alone. You can do it every day of your life. But it ought to be done. Okay. So he's coming to you. He's got that goblet. And what's the first reflection you see? Well, the first thing you see is the reflection of the face of Christ. And you hear him say, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Pause there. As often as you do it, meaning there is no legalistic number of times you're required to do it. Once a month, every week, once a quarter, it's up to you. As often as you do it. Is that clear? I mean, you can do it every day. Cindy and I, Monday through Friday, take it every morning before I leave for work and before she does anything else. We take it briefly together. I'm just saying, it's as often as you do it. Well, in our church, we celebrate it every. I don't care about your church. I'm telling you what God said, as often as you do it. Does that make sense? Okay, that's for the Church of Christ, people. I got to let you know that you don't have to do it every day. And the fact that if you did it once a quarter doesn't prohibit you from doing it every day at home. You have that privilege as priests and kings. You can have communion together. See? So I don't think I was taught anything in church except how to go to heaven. I don't think I learned a dumb thing. You know, and this stuff's important because you get really goofy people coming in with all kind of stuff they've heard in church that isn't true. So he says, I want you to do this communion in remembrance of me. So let's remember. Let us remember his night in Gethsemane when the Roman soldiers came and arrested him. He had been praying like sweat drops of blood from his face, the stress, the pressure. Remember the Roman whip laced with bone and metal that cut his back to the bone. And let us remember the scripture that says, by his stripes on that cross, we are made well, we are healed. Let's remember his blood that was shed on a Roman cross at Calvary for our redemption. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You can count all the rosaries you want. You can burn all the candles. You can dangle all the crystals you want. You can give to United Way, to Food Bank, and those are wonderful things to do, but they won't save you. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, which is the whole reason Jesus had to become a man and come to the world as a perfect, sinless man to shed his blood. All right. Now, remember his promises to the body of Christ. Remember, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, even to the ends of the earth. Remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? David said, if war is declared against you, God will be with you. So you will be confident. You will be ultimately victorious. Remember, the communion is the sign and the seal of our covenant with Jesus. Jesus said, this is my covenant with you. So the God of the Bible is a covenant God. And he said, I don't break covenant. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, he said, for 1,000 generations, I keep covenant. Now, numerically, that's actually 50,000 years. So I'd say you got a while to go. Hello? Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, this is my blood of the new covenant, this wine. We receive the bread from his hands, and we hear his voice saying, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. So his touch on your life or mine can turn darkness into glorious light. His touch can lift the heaviest burden. His touch can transform fear into glorious faith. His touch can bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you receive communion, you can feel the touch of the Master's hand upon you. You can feel that touch that says, nothing is impossible to those who believe and are called according to my purposes, right? That touch says, I am with you always, to the end of this earth, even to the end of your days on this earth. That touch says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. For the King of glory is coming in. Your redemption draweth nigh. So when we take communion, the Lord himself is in this place. He's here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am right there. Welcome, Jesus. We love you. We're glad you're here. So the contents of the communion cup bring a threefold healing. The first healing is in Isaiah 53, verse 4. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Hear those two words. He has carried or borne our grief and carried our sorrow. So the first healing of communion is emotional healing. Our griefs and sorrows. There are seven deadly emotions in the Bible that Satan sends to destroy, to discourage a believer. And those seven are resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear of the future, guilt over the past, grief over the loss of a loved one, and it seems to linger endlessly, the insecurity and lack of confidence that you have in yourself as a believer. And you go from one prayer line to another. You go from one personal prophecy to another. You're always seeking God's will, but you're always falling back into deeper despair and depression about your life and about your future. Folks, when you take communion, that chain is broken. That barrier is broken. You are a child of the King. Stop that nonsense. You're royalty. You are unique. You are loved. You are God's original. I'm not going to die a cheap copy. The Bible says angels are going in front of me. Angels are behind me. The Lord himself is with you. Nothing is impossible with you, O Lord. The Bible says you are kings and priests unto God. Live like it, think like it, talk like it, act like it. How about give the Lord a little shout of praise in the house? You are somebody. Dang. Boy, low self-esteem is rampant in this country. I don't have you to have to blow sunshine in my face, tell me who I am or what my value is. I don't get my value off social media or comparing myself to some celebrity or superstar. I walk in confidence, know I was born. He said, before you were conceived in the womb, Ricky G, I knew you, called you by name and ordained you. You put your name in that. God said, I don't care if it's a back seat of a Ford with two unmarried people. I knew you, and I called you, and I chose you before you ever were conceived in the womb. You're my choice. Forget what your parents said. I chose you. I get my self-worth not from my physical parents, but from my spiritual father who said, I sent you to get their DNA, and I picked up from those people because I needed to make the you that I have created for your future. So my self-worth comes from the fact Father chose me, said, I'm going to send you into the world at this time and this place and at this opportunity. I'm in the right place at the right time for my assignment. You could have been born anytime in the future or in the past. God chose you right now. So wake up, Rumpelstiltskin. Live life big. Be who you are. be fruitful, multiply, create something, live bold on this earth. Sorry for preaching. I do have a license, okay. The second healing of communion states this: but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised on that cross for our iniquities. Now, you know what an iniquity is? An iniquity is when you know you're sinning and you just keep on sinning because you're going to sin anyway. Don't look so strange. There are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. Omission is what you should have done, you didn't do. Commission is what you shouldn't do, you did. Well, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, okay? Our only hope of escape from that judgment is to say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. I'm counting on you to give me forgiveness, healing, cleansing, purging, and sanctification. When Jesus died on the cross, if you're a believer, your past died. It was buried in the deepest part of the sea, never to be remembered against you again. You are justified. That means just as if you had never sinned. You are sanctified. That's kind of a religious word today, but that's where the word saint comes from, sanctified. It simply means that you are set apart to God. You're made holy. I know there's holiness conferences and it's all about what you do and don't do and where. You've been made holy by what Jesus did in his life and on the cross. I could never achieve that by myself. See, you are acceptable unto God through faith in Jesus. I mean, it's like, what are you crawling for? Why are you timid for? He says, let us come boldly to the throne of God. Boldly, not crawling on your knees. And let us come saying, Daddy, Daddy, I need help. Like your children, I need 20 bucks. I need the car. Come boldly and you receive grace and mercy. Yep. Right? Yeah. Oh, I'm seeking God. Oh, I'm a worm. No, you're a child of God. My kids don't come in and see me and say, oh, Daddy, I'm such a worm. No, sometimes they may act like it, but they don't think they are. They think they are actually heirs of mine and have a right to come in, approach me, and ask me for something. And they do it on a regular basis. And God says, I want you to be that way. Come on, ask me. You can't ask me too much. We ask too little. See, when somebody calls you a saint, that's a Bible compliment beyond words because of what Christ has done in your life. Third, when you drink the cup of the communion and you eat the bread, you're eating and drinking health and healing to your body. Divine health, emotional healing, forgiveness of your sin. See, this morning, do you need a divine touch from the Lord? When you speak the word of God out loud, you release his promises over your life. And we'll do that in just a few minutes. The blessing of the Lord will fill every part of your existence. The God who operated heaven and created heaven and the worlds and the earth is the God who can heal you today. Now, I know when I say healing, we have so much fraud, so much spectacular fraud nonsense that a lot of folks just reject it altogether. It has been so abused. That's not going to happen in this house. We believe there is healing. All people don't get healed. Go look at the cemetery. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. So I have a day appointed. But I don't have to go before my day. And that time is written in his book. So God has given to me benefits of the cross. Why would he say, if you're sick, call for the elders or those leaders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray for you to be well? Why would that be said if there weren't some benefits for us to recover? And that doesn't mean you can't see a doctor. God can combine his power and presence to medicine or surgery. Luke was a physician. I'm going to use all means to heal myself. Exactly. I'll use the medicine if needed, surgery if needed, but I'm going to pray and confess God's word over me before anything happens. I want everything working on my benefit, don't you? Well, sure, I would hope so. So God can heal my body, my soul, and my spirit. The history of the communication begins back at Passover. The Bible says they shall come and take part of the blood and put it on the doorpost of their home and on the lintel of the house where they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So first, the lamb's blood brought supernatural protection from the angel of death that came through Egypt that night. And every home that did not have the blood over the door of their home, the firstborn died. It says, and there was weeping throughout Egypt because the land was covered with people who did not believe in the protection of God's blood. Scripture says, it is through the blood we have victory over the devil. I am covered. I am protected from judgment. I am protected from the assault of the enemy through the blood. Now, I have been given weapons to fight. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. You can't just be passive. But the enemy knows if I'm dumb and I don't even know what my legal rights are, he can abuse me. It's illegitimate, but what's the difference? I don't know what my rights are. It is important to know what your rights are. Everybody today says, well, I have a right, I have a right. I wish they'd do that in church and say that to the enemy. I have a legal right to this deliverance or this healing. Get out of my life. And secondly, the slain lamb was to be eaten. Now think about that. Just as the lamb's blood brought protection from death and judgment, eating the lamb's body brought supernatural health. Now that's the message. The next morning, the entire nation of Israel, 2 million people or more, came out of Egypt, saved by the blood of the lamb and healed by communion, eating that lamb's body. Listen to Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them forth out of Egypt with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among all their tribes. See, what Israel ate in the Passover brought supernatural health and healing in their bodies on that one night that lasted for 40 years. That put health stores out of business. I wouldn't have to take another supplement. Wouldn't that be nice? Years ago, a doctor in Europe discovered that if you take the fetus of a lamb, the cells of that organ in the lamb can be used to help human beings physically recover. Now today, stem cell research, stem cell injections of all kinds are used pretty widespread in sports for injury recovery. So get this, the cells of the lamb actually assist in replacing the bad cells in the human heart. Now notice in the Passover, the Jewish people were ordered in Exodus to eat all the organs of the lamb. Now fast forward to the New Testament in John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Not that cracker you eat. I am the bread of life. He said this, meaning himself, this is the bread that comes down from heaven that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. He's talking about receiving himself. Receiving Jesus as the bread of life. My body will die, but I won't. My soul, my spirit will live forever. I'm walking with eternity in me now. And if you're a believer in Jesus, so are you. See? So you think about that. When you take communion, your sins are forgiven. You're eating a substance of power that brings you immortality into the kingdom of God. Now, that's enough to make you dance in the aisle. That when I went to church, we didn't get anything out of communion. It's just an old dead ceremony because it wasn't presented correctly. Now go with me to the upper room. Jesus and the 12 have gathered to celebrate the Passover, and this is in Luke chapter 22. And he says he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. It was obviously broken on the cross. See, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So because of the history of the Passover, and because of Isaiah 53, because of the power of the atonement of Calvary, we can say communion holds a key to walking in supernatural health and deliverance for our bodies, for our mind, our emotion, and our will. It is indeed a miracle meal. Now, let me point out something. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. If you go there, Jesus is in a crowd, He's casting out demons, and it says he healed all who were sick and infirmed. Listen, that Isaiah 53 might be fulfilled. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Come on. And he bore it on the tree. That means he on the cross didn't just heal me spiritually. He provided healing for me physically. Why would they? I used to give them a fit in seminary because it was an evangelical place and they didn't dare want to think God could supernaturally heal anybody. I said, well, here is an apostle quoting the prophet Isaiah and applying it to Jesus healing all that were sick and infirm, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah in chapter 53, that by his stripes we are healed. So I have a right to health and recovery and good healing. Now, God also, by the way, keep it, God also expects you to use a little bit of sense. You can't just eat sugar all day. You can't just abuse your body all day and believe for healing. I mean, half the people, I wouldn't need a word of knowledge to pray for half the people that are sick. You can look at them and say, well, you need to lose 75 pounds, and you need to drop that blood pressure, and you'll get your glycemic index down as well. There's a lot of it that's our fault. But if I take responsibility for it, God promises, I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to bring healing in your body. But I am also responsible to do my part. That's all. So I do my best. I take supplements. I exercise. I eat beneficial. I mean, obviously, if one of the grandkids has a birthday party, I'm going to eat the cake and ice cream. But that ain't what I eat every day. I don't eat it every day. So I'm not going to get any high blood pressure. I'm not going to get type 2 diabetes. So some of this health and healing we can walk in. But I need God's help when something strikes me. Maybe it's in the family line. Maybe it came from a virus. Maybe it came from unexpectedly upon my body. Bible says, you know, call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you if anybody's sick, and they will recover. Now, why would God allow that if there wasn't a human means? And God says, when you get sick, it could happen. Let's fight back. There's Luke was a physician. Jesus blessed him. So sometimes you use all means to heal yourself. Communion is one of those means. I take an antibiotic, and you doctor says, take this twice a day for a week. Well, depending on the seriousness of your illness, you might need to take communion twice a day for a week or whatever until that thing breaks in you. I lay hands and pray. My daughter had a little nasal surgery, and I went over to her bedside, laid my hands on her, and prayed because there was nothing attacking her. She was a submitted surgical procedure to get better in breathing, right? But I pray now, God, I bind swelling, inflammation, post-operative infection. I have some legal rights and authority. I believe God wants, he says, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I think God's will is that we walk in a healthy body. If you're abusing your body, well, you can abuse your money. You can abuse your mate. You can lose it all. But that wasn't God's will. So God wants me to obey some scriptures, and I can pretty much live until God says, your days are up, old buddy. You're coming home. And then you can pray for me all you want, but it ain't going to do any good. Okay. What I'm trying to do is get a little mysticism out of this. I'm just trying to say, God wants me to be well. Now, I will die at some point. Even if I eat tree bark one day, I still will die. And I'm simply saying, let's don't abuse that. Sometimes healing is progressive. Sometimes it's quick. I've seen both. I'd love to be quick because I'm an American. I want it quick. But sometimes it's progressive. You fight for it, you persist, and then it begins to break over your child. Pray for your children. Do the very same thing. Okay, I've said enough. Now, if I take communion worthily, and I'll show you what that means, I experience divine health from the living God. The living God says, if any man eats this bread, he shall live forever. I say this in closing. Communion taken unworthily can harm you. Paul said to the Corinthians, because you guys are taking communion unworthily, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some have died. Now, before you get hysterical, understand that Paul is writing to the first Corinthian church at a time when there was great sin in that church. They were having sex with family members. They were stealing the offerings out of the temple. They were extremely corrupt, and they were having communion in the middle of it. And Paul sent them a letter and rebuked them harshly. In 2 Corinthians, after they confessed their sin, he said, I have confidence in you all. So there's a big difference between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. These people were into deep sin, and Paul is saying some of your relatives are in the graveyard early because of what they were doing, taking communion unworthily. But make no mistake, as you take communion every day, it's a very sacred thing. It's a holy thing, and it's a powerful thing. Examine your life, God says, to see if you be in the faith. If you're not obeying God's word, and you know there's sin in your life that's unconfessed, I want to give you a chance in a moment just to confess that before we take communion this morning together. And then make sure there's no hidden sin in your heart. Make sure you're in proper relationship with the body of Christ, because some of you today need healing in your emotions, in your body, and your spirit. See, we are going to take communion together. So take your elements right there. You've got the little package. And stand to your feet with me with your heads bowed in God's presence. Go ahead, take a moment. Take that little communion element out of the package. And I want you right now, as you're doing that, to examine yourself, because you know you better than anybody else in this building other than God. And if you're in this room and you say, well, Rick, I know there's unconfessed sin in my life, and I need to confess that before I receive this communion. I am a believer. Or I'm not yet a believer. I want Christ to be Lord of my life, but right now, He's not. Now, if that describes you with our heads bowed, I'm going to pray, but would you just slip a hand up and take it down? Nobody will bother you. Thank you. God bless you. Right where you are. And I'm going to get you to pray a prayer with me. Just slip your hand up right there and then take it down. Thank you. Now, understand, I know the devil right now is playing tricks with your mind, saying God would never forgive you for that. Let me remind you, the first person who went to heaven was a career criminal. He was crucified with Jesus. And Jesus said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. And all he said was, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all it takes, a simple recognition of Jesus as Lord. So for those of you that said that, I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer so my friends that lifted a hand are not in any way embarrassed. Say with me, everybody. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. Purge me. Make me whiter than snow. Let my sin be buried in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Let my emotions be healed. In Jesus' name, I pray this and ask it. Amen and amen. Now, the second element of the communion, you're in this room and there's grief and sorrow in your life. There's emotional distress in your life, and you want that to go. I want you to receive it now as we receive the communion. Now, if that describes you, just slip a hand up right where you are, just for a moment. Okay, wow. Pray this prayer out loud. We'll all pray it together. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you. You have taken my grief and my sorrow. You have borne it in your own body. So this morning, I surrender it to you as I receive this communion. It shall no longer torment me. It will no longer destroy my peace. It will no longer control my future. Today, I am free from that past. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So can we take the symbol of Christ's body, you have it right where you are, and let's take that right now. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, drink ye all of it. So take the contents of the cup. He said, this is the blood of my new covenant shed for the remission of your sins. But I say unto you, I won't drink any more of it until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and there Jesus Christ was received by the Roman government to begin the death process for our redemption. So we thank you, Almighty God, for your precious blood shed for our redemption. Thank you for the authority of your healing power in this communion today. We receive today in Jesus' name relief from every form of grief and suffering through the power of the anointing through this communion. We receive forgiveness of our sin that has plagued us. Guilt, shame, and condemnation must go, for we are now set free by the power of the atonement through communion. The Lord Himself is in this place, walking the aisles, touching, healing, and restoring and anointing in Jesus' name. So receive that blessing. And all of God's children said, praise the Lord. Well, give the Lord a little shout of praise. Come on. They're proud of praise. Thank you, Lord. One more. If you need or want healing or health in your body, slip a hand up. You need some healing or health in your body. And I mean, we're going to really proclaim this finally. So everybody pray this with me. Don't mumble. Shout it, declare it. Say, Lord Jesus, I make this confession. In faith believing, you are my Lord and Savior. You are my great physician. You are my healer. By your stripes on the cross, I am now being made well. By your precious blood, I have victory over every sickness and every disease. Thank you, you sent your word to heal me, to deliver me from all destruction. Your words are life and health to all my flesh. You have set before me life and death. I choose life. You have set before me blessing and cursing. I choose blessing. I will not fear, for you are with me. Your word is my strength, my fortress, my high tower. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Greater is He in me than he that's in the world. So I will praise you. I will declare your greatness. I will bless your name forever. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. I praise you, Lord, that the victory is mine today through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. There is power in our confession.
Hey, thanks again for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend. Follow me by visiting the links in the description. I'm praying today that God richly blesses you this entire week.